Okay, today's daf is Sanhedrin, daf Kuf Yud Gimel, and we are up to the last daf of Mesecha Sanhedrin, Baruch Hashem, and last daf of Chelek, as we continue discussing the topic of Ir Hanidachas. As we learned, this is a sugya because it is brought here, because as we learned in the Mishnah on 2 days ago's daf, Ashi Ir Hanidachas do not have a Chelek to Olam, in Olam Abba, according to the opinion in the Mishnah. And we're getting into all the details of the halachas of Ir Hanidachas. Remember, as we mentioned, and we're going to mention, based on the daya that says, even if there is one mezuzah in the city, so then it would not become an Ir Hanidachas. So that's why the Gemara said earlier on Daf Ayin Aleph, Aman Aleph, back in Perek Ben Sora Mora, this is one of the three topics in Torah that might not have ever occurred, right, along with Ben Sora Mora and Bayis HaMenuga. Those are the three that were mentioned on Ayin Aleph of an Aleph, with other opinions of the Tanaim as well there. But we are in the middle of Kuf Yud Beis Mem Beis. We're right by the two dots where Reb Shimon is quoted. Reb Shimon Omer Behemtecha V'lo Behemes Bechor V'Meiser. Behemtecha, your animals will get destroyed, will get Nisraf, and not the behemah, bechor, and meiser. Remember, when it comes to avodah zarah, a private individual, then the person gets skila and their property. Nothing happens to their property. But when it comes to Ir Hanidachas, it's flipped. Ir Hanidachas, the onesh is kal, more kal than the an individual, which one might suggest the svara being. Well, if everybody else is doing it, it's kind of hard to not do it myself. So that might be why it's more kal. But in terms of the mamon, it's more chamor. Mamon is avad, right? It's not palat. And why is that? Maybe because it's to leave a public remembrance of this is a ir shlavot azara. It makes more of an impression on those outsiders that if the entire city is off limits, right? The avad, and maybe that's why the mamon is more chamor and the gavra is more kal. But either way, Reb Shimon says, if there are karbanos in the city, then they are not affected. Reb Shimon says, behemtecha and not behemas bechor v'meiser. Bechor and meiser are excluded. So b'mayaskinan. So what exactly, what type of karbanos are we talking about here by bechor and meiser? Ilema b'tamimin. Are we talking about bechor tam? A Meiser Tam, we know Bechor Tam, that's the automatic carbon. Even if I don't do anything, right, when the firstborn comes out, boom, it's a carbon. So if we're talking about a Bechor Tam and a Meiser Behem, I count the animals through my fence, and then the 10th one I designate. So Shlal Shamayim Hu. That's obvious, Shlal Shamayim, that doesn't belong to me, that's general Shlal Shamayim, and therefore, what would be the Havamina? We already know that from earlier, where it says Shlala. Nafka, Rashi quotes, right? That's obviously excluded. So, Ella, Bibali Mumin. So, it must be that it's a Balmum, right? A Bechor Balmum, a Meiser Balmum. So, the Gemara says, Shlalaninu, but what do you mean? But then, we know a Bechor and a Meiser Balmum and an owner is allowed to partake of, with a few limits. But generally, it becomes Shalbailim. So, therefore, it should be included in Shlala, and therefore, it should be burned with the rest of the assets of the city. So, the Gemara gives two answers. Amar Avina, La'olam Bali Mumin. Really, we're talking about Bali Mumin. You asked, isn't that then Memela just property of the owner and should be burned? No. It's still not regular chulin property of the owner. Umisha Nechal Bataras Behemtecha. The only thing that animals that are burned with all the property are animals that are totally, people say, yours, Behemtecha. Or, that says on the side, Behemta. Yatsu elu she'eine echolin b'toras behemta, or behemtacha ela b'toras, b'chor v'meiser. Deshlal shamayim ninu. As Rashi explains, these animals are still not called regular animals. When people look at these animals of yours, they're like, oh, you know what he's having for supper? He's having his sheep. No, they're going to say he's having his karban that became balmum. Right, it's not going to be a regular run-of-the-mill animal. It still has, as Rashi says, a shame lavai, an accompanying name. It would still be called a karbon that you are now able to eat, and therefore, there are still certain halachos that apply to it, how I'm allowed to shear it, how I'm allowed to work it. So because of that, even though it's a balmum, it still is different, and is not called shlala, it is shlal shamayim, and that's why it would be excluded. That is Rabbi Shimon, Ravina's understanding of Rabbi Shimon. Again, that a balmum would also be excluded and not burns with the property of the city. Upliga de Shmuel. And this understanding, Ravina's understanding of Rav Shimon, is different than Shmuel's understanding of Rav Shimon. Because as we will see, as we're about to explain, according to Ravina's Rav Shimon, Bali Mumin are not excluded. It's only the Tmimin that are excluded, not Bali Mumin. The Bali Mumin would be burned in the Shlal. So where do we see that? Darmer Shmuel. Because Shmuel understood Reb Shimon as follows. Again, the same question we have on Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon excludes Bechor and Meiser. So we say, one minute, if it's a Tam, it should be excluded Mimela from Shlala. And if it's a Bal Mum, it shouldn't be excluded at all. So Shmuel explains Reb Shimon as follows. Darmer Shmuel. Hakol Karav, Hakol Nifta. All are Karav, are brought, and all are redeemed. My Kamar, what does that mean? What do those four words mean? Hachi Kamar. Kol shekarav kishuhu tam. V'niftek shu balmum. Any animal that is brought as a karban when the animal is a tam, without blemish, and is must be redeemed when it is a balmum, like most karbanos out there, most karbanos, if it gets a balmum, it still belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. There's nothing automatic that it loses its kedusha. Most kashi kalam. Right, so by those mishlal imit. So that's excluded from shlal because even after it gets a balmum, becomes a balmum, it's still automatically not shalbailim, and that's why it's excluded from shalal. But the kol shekarav shu tam, the eino niftek shu balmum. But any animal that is carved on its tam and does not have to be redeemed when it becomes a balmum, rather automatically it goes down a notch and it becomes shalbailim, like Bechor v'Meiser, Kigon Bechor v'Meiser, so mi behema nafka. So those animals, you need the pasuk of behema to exclude them. Why? Explains Rashi, explains Mefarshim. The fact that you don't need pidyon in order to make these animals mutter to the bailim show that even when it's a tam, it still has some kesher to the bailim. So memelo, you need a pasuk, an extra pasuk, to exclude even tam from being included in shalal. So therefore, there is no extra pasuk to exclude balmum. Memelo, balmum would be burned with the shalal of the city. Remember, Bechor and Maaser are very special, unique karbanos. Two of the thoughts that we always like to mention when these two come up. First, by Bechor, the firstborn animal, it comes out. The Taz on Yeredeya points out that we know there are three mitzvahs related to firstborns. Two by animals and one by a person. Bechor Behemoth Tahora that we're talking about here. Firstborn sheep, firstborn cow. Bechor Behema Tahora, and number two, Pidyon HaBen, and number three, Petach HaMor, right, firstborn donkey. Mitzvah that applies to a non-kosher animal. Firstborn donkey, okay, that has two mitzvahs really, and I say in a los asay, but we'll call it one topic. Ask the Taz, why is it by two out of three, the Chazal instituted a bracha and not by the third? By Pidyon HaBen, by Bechor Petach HaMor, there's a bracha. That's pretty unusual because Jews don't always own donkeys and the donkey has to have a firstborn that meets all the requirements, but there's a bracha. Al pidyon petach hamor. But when it comes to Bechor Behemoth Tahora, there's no bracha. So why is there no bracha? Why didn't Chazal institute a bracha by the third category? Explain the Taz in Yoredeya. He quotes the Prisha and he argues on the Prisha. The Prisha says, well, it depends if you have something left in your hands after the mitzvah. So by a karban, you have something left. By a pidyon haben, you have your son left in your hand. And by the chamor, you have a sheep left in your, you have the chamor left in your hand. But the Taz says, why should that be? Who cares whether you have something left in your hands or not? So the Taz explains, no. Only where you accomplish something, where you're actually doing something, do you make a bracha. So petach chamor, you're switching the kedusha. You're doing something from the chamor to the sheep. The status, not really the kedusha. By pidyon haben, I'm switching the status of the child and the slayim. By Bechor Behemoth Tahora, I'm not doing anything. Right when the animal comes out, it's a karban, automatically. Yes, there's an idea of afa pisha kadosh mitzvah lahakdisho. But really, technically, it already belongs to the kohen right when it comes out. And therefore, I'm not really doing anything. That's why Chazal did not institute a bracha. So that's conceptually the lumdis between Bechor Behemoth Tahora and Pidyon HaBen and Petach HaMor. Number one, by Bechor. By Meiser, the thought that we often mention from Rav Pam is that we know that Meiser, we don't have any Meiser Bezman HaZeh. Right, why don't we have Meiser Bezman HaZeh? Bechor, we don't have Bezman HaZeh because we try to prevent it. If a farmer knows that his animal is about to have a firstborn, so he sells 5% of the animal, the mother animal, to a guy, so we know Shutfis of an Akum is Mafkia from Kedusha. And that's why we don't have any firstborns walking around, because we prevent the Kedusha, because we don't want to have a carbon walking around. What about by Meiser? We just don't designate. We don't put the animals through the fence, count them out, label number 10. We don't do that. because we don't do that, therefore it doesn't exist. It's not like there's an automatic 10% of my animals, of my sheep that are going to be meiser. I have to label them as I put them through the fence, and that's why there's no meiser bezbanazeh. We don't want karbanas walking around. So the question is then, why do you have to do that in such an unusual way? Just count 10%. You have 100 animals, so 10 of them. No, I have to put them through the fence. 1, 2, 3, and number 10, I have to label as the Mishnayos describe in Maseches Bechoros. Explains Rav Pam, because 10% is a lot in people's minds. To give 10% of the animals, right, that would be hard. So you know what the Torah tells us to do? Count them in the fence. 1 for me, 2 for me, 3 for me, 4 for me, 9 for me, 1 for Hashem. We realize how much we have. That's what the strategy of why the Torah says to do Meiser that way, because I realize 90% is mine. Right? And that's what I do first, and then it's easier to give 10%, give 1 to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's one thought about Meiser, and one thought about Bechor. Okay, we continue now. Trumos Yirkavu. The Truma that is found in the Ir HaNidachas has to be left to rot. So, why is that? Amar Rav Chisda. And which truma are we talking about? So Rav Chisda, first suggestion. Loshon el truma biyad Yisrael. What has to rot if there's a truma that a Yisrael still has? A Yisrael has produce that grew, and I didn't get to give it to the Kohen yet. And therefore I have the truma, so it's not mine. So it's not mine, so it's not going to be burned, but I didn't give it to the Kohen yet. And maybe I would give it to a... Well, we'll wait with that. So let's just first explain. So truma biyad Yisrael. And Rashi says it's ki'ilu pikadon da'achirim damu. Rashi's lashon on the left side. Right, it's like the shevet akuna has given it to me, and that's why it's not going to be burned. You have to let it rot. Aval truma biyad kohen kivet mamoni hu tisaref. But if there's a kohen that lives in the Ir HaNidachas and he has truma that was ready given to him and he just didn't get to eat it yet, then it has to be burned, because that truma belongs to the kohen. It's his, even though it has some level of kedusha and he can only eat it betara, but still it's enough his in order to be burned in the Ir HaNidachas. Says the Gemara, really? Masav Rav Yosef. The Yad Ramah has a different formulation of why, if it is in the hands of the Yisrael, right, it is not burnt. So Rashi says it's like a pikadon, as we learned on yesterday's daf. The Yad Ramah says no, because the Yisrael has tovas hana'ah. There is a connection to a Yisrael, because Yad Kol Yisrael, he has ability to give it to whoever. That's why it's a little bit in between. It's going to go to the Kohen, but the Yisrael gets to choose which Kohen he gives it to. Who he gives it to, that's why it's more in this limbo. It can't be burned, but it's not totally eaten. So Mazar Rav Yosef, yes, 1 second. It says, so we just explained that if the Kohen has the Truma, it's burnt. The Mishnah said that Maaser Shedi and Kisvi HaKodesh are not destroyed, but they are put into Geniza. They are hidden away. They are buried. V'ha-Maaser Shedi b'yad Yisrael, k'truma b'yad Kohen damu. 1 second. But Maaser Shedi in the hands of Yisrael is just like Truma in the hands of a Kohen. V'ktani and Yignazu. And it says, no, it has to be hidden away. It's not burned. Kashan Rav Chisda. So, why? Because we compare Maaser Shedi to a Yisrael and Truma to a Kohen. Say, Ela Yidmar, Hachi Yidmar. Okay. Different version of Rav Chisda, the opposite. Amar Rav Chisda, Loshana, when do we say that it is left to rot? El Loshana, El Truma Biyad Kohen. When the Kohen has it, that's when it is left to rot. Aval Truma Biyad Yisrael, Tidas and Lekohen, Shebeir Acheres. But a Truma Biyad Yisrael, if Yisrael didn't give Truma yet, then he should give it to a Kohen. Give it to a Kohen in a different city. Or Rashi says here, or give it to a Kohen in the city that was not Hudach. Right, so give it to a Kohen who's going to be able to enjoy it, and therefore it would be saved in that way. Okay, two versions of Rav Chisda. Interesting also to compare Truma and Maaser Shedi. They both have Kedusha. One has a Heter Gavra, one has a Heter Makom. Right, Maaser Shedi, I can only partake of in Yerushalayim. Truma, the Kohen can partake of anywhere in the world. So Truma has the Heter by the person, and Maaser Shedi has the Heter by the place. And the Gemara here compares the two. So there's many different sugyas and shas where they're compared, where they're contrasted. You know, how do we look at the two of them, right? If somebody eats truma, if it's zari's truma, but it's misa b'dei shamayim, right? Eating maaser sheni michutz lachomos is a lav, and therefore there's differences in the kedusha. Okay, tanan hasam the mishnah says there, though as it points out on the side, it's not really a mishnah, it's a brisa. Okay, Isa Shah Maaser Shedi. Somebody has Maaser Shedi dough. Ptura ben achala div Rabbi Meir v'chalim l'chayvim. Machlokes in the Brisa whether Maiser Sheini dough is called yours, right? You have to take off, we have to take off the challah from my dough. So is Maiser Sheini dough called my dough? Machlokes. Whether it's called my dough, right? If it's God's dough, then I don't have to take off Maiser, I don't have to take off challah. So, Rav Meir says, Patur and Chum Seichayv. I'm Rav Chisda. Again, Rav Chisda comes in. Machlokes. When is there a machlokes in this category? But Maiser Sheni B'Yerushalayim. If you're in Yerushalayim already, that's where there's a machlokes. To Rav Meir Savar, Maiser Sheni Mamon Gavoahu. Rav Meir holds, even though I'm allowed to eat it in Maiser in Yerushalayim, it's still called Shel Gavoha. It's still compared to Karbanos. And therefore, I'm not allowed, I don't have to take off my challah. For Rabban and Sarri, Mamon had you do. No, in Yerushalayim? In Yerushalayim, you're allowed to eat it. Yisrael's allowed to eat it. And therefore, it's considered Mamon had you, and you're chayv to take off challah. Aval b'gvulin. In Gvulin, where nobody is allowed to partake of it, divrei hakol pater, then everybody agrees pater if Maaser Sheni is outside Yerushalayim. Matzav Rav Yosef. So again, we ask from the same line in our Mishnah. Rav Yosef again asks on Rav Chisda. Maaser Sheni v'kisvei kodesh yignezu. Maaser Sheni v'kisvei kodesh, if they're found in the Ereni Dachas, they have to be buried. B'maya skinan. What are we talking about? Where is this Maaser Sheni? Where's the Maaser Sheni that the Mishnah says if it's found in an Ereni Dachas, it needs to be hidden away and buried? Elim of Yerushalayim. Are we talking about Maaser Sheni Yerushalayim? That doesn't fit. Mihavi Ereni Dachas. Could Yerushalayim be near any dachas? Vatanya, didn't we learn in a brisa at the end of Perak Meruba, back in Baba Kama? Asara Dvarim Nemru Yerushalayim. 10 special enactments in Yerushalayim. Vizuachas Mehen. Eina Nasis Yerani Dachas. A Yerushalayim cannot be made into an Yerani Dachas. So when the Mishnah says, Maaser Sheni, you have to do something with it. So it can't be in Yerushalayim, because then Yerushalayim can't be in Yerani Dachas. V'elabiracharis. But what must be, Irani Dachas, a different city became an Irani Dachas, V'askuhu Ligava, and the Maaser Sheni had been brought into Yerushalayim, and now finds itself back in the Irani Dachas somewhere else. So is that what we're talking about? And that's what has to be buried? So that doesn't work either, asks Rav Yosef, why? Hakaltuha Mechitzos. Because the walls of Yerushalayim have already been matir this Maaser Sheni. Kaltua Mechitzos. We'll get back to that. So give Hashem in Maseches Makos. Kaltua Mechitzos. Right? And therefore, it should be mutter. It should be mutter to eat. Right? Not affected by the Irani Dacha status. So, what is the Mishnah talking about? So, Elalav, Bigvulin. It must be talking about in Maaser Sheni. That's totally outside of Yerushalayim, in a different city, that I didn't get to bring up Yerushalayim yet. And yet, Viktani Ganzu. And yet it says, it should be Nignas. But 1 second, according to Rav Chisda, doesn't Rav Chisda say that Maaser Sheni out of Yerushalayim is for sure Mamon Gavoa? Is for sure not connected to the owner. And therefore, in this case, it should be not affected by the status of Yerani Dachas. Because it's Mamon Gavoa, according to Rav Chisda. So Gemara says, Lo, La Olam, Dir Yerani Cheres, Vaskula Gavoa. Go back to suggestion number 2. Right, it's from a different city. It was brought into Yerushalayim, and now it's out of Yerushalayim. I said, then why don't you say kol tu mechitzos? It should be mutter. It became tameh. That's why it's not mutter. It's Maaser Sheni that went into Yerushalayim that became tameh, and that's why it has to be hidden away and buried. Ask the Gemara if it became tameh, but live for k. Why don't you just redeem it then? If Maaser Sheni became Tamei, then you're allowed to redeem it, you're allowed to change the Kedusha onto money, and the money will, and then the fruits will not have the Maaser Sheni status anymore, and the money will have the Maaser Sheni status, you buy other fruit with this money. Tamalomar, lo suchal say so. Literally, it means you cannot carry it, it's too much to schlep up, and therefore you're allowed to redeem it. But we darshan on another level, vein says elachila, shnemer vayisamas os meis panav. Right, you can't eat it, and that's why you're allowed to redeem it. But either way, says Rabbi Elazar, that once Maaser Sheni fruit becomes Tamei, even if it was in Yerushalayim, you're allowed to redeem it. So question mark, so why does if we say that our Mishnah is talking about a case where there was Maaser Sheni fruit that went into Yerushalayim, and then came out of Yerushalayim, and now it has to be buried because it's part of an Irani Dachas, and the reason is because, why can't you eat it? Because it became Tamei, why can't you redeem it? Why does it have to be buried? Answer, Hachamai Askinan Bila Kuach. What's Lakuach? There's another step. It's a big ukimta in the Mishnah. Not only are we talking about Maaser Sheni, that became Tamei. After it was brought in, and then it was brought out, and now it's in an Irani Dachas city, but it's not talking about the original fruit of Maaser Sheni. You went to Yerushalayim already once, and you already, it was too heavy to schlep, so therefore I made it onto money. And I bought new fruit so the kedusha of the money goes onto the fruit. And that new lakua fruit became tameh. That's what we're talking about. And that is why that, as Rashi says on the bottom line, less lay pedia. Right, that does not have, that cannot be redeemed. When Rabbi Elazar says, Maaser Sheni Shenitma Shepodono, so that's the actual Maaser Sheni fruit. If you have this extra step, it doesn't work. Says the Gemara, really? Velifrike, why don't you redeem that too? Isn't there a daya out there that says you can? Titzan, as the Mishnah says in Maaser Sheni, Halakuach, Bekesa Maaser Sheni Shenitma Yipadeh, even Lakuach. Answers the Gemara, Kareb Yehuda, Damar Yikaver, our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yehuda Shita, that says, once it is Machlokas Tanoim there, what Maaser Sheni, actual fruit that became Tamei, you could redeem. But even if it was in Yerushalayim, but Maaser Sheni fruit that you made onto money, and now you back onto new fruit, so that cannot be redeemed. Why? It's not strong enough to be matfis the kedusha onto the money. If you have Maaser Sheni, pure, unadulterated fruit, so that's strong, and that can move the kedusha onto the money. But once you're already a little diluted, it went from the fruit to the money to new fruit, so that new fruit is not as pure, strong Maaser Sheni status in order to be able to transfer it onto the money. So what have we explained? That our Mishnah, even though Rav Chisda says that outside of Yerushalayim, that everybody agrees that Maaser Sheni is Bama Gavoa, but our Mishnah is a new Kimta. Why do you have to vary it? Because we're talking about Maaser Sheni fruit that was bought with Maaser Sheni money that became Tamei, and that was part of an Irani Dachas, right? And that's why it's not burned, because it's not fully belonging to the person, but it has to be buried. Ask the Gemara, if this is the Ukimta, then this has nothing to do with the laws of Irani Dachas. It has to do with the laws of Maaser Sheni becoming Tamei. So what is it doing in our Mishnah? Ihachi, my Ari Irani Dachas, Avilo Da'al Manami. Right? This is what you have to do with all this type of fruit, right? So why is this in the Mishnah? So, let's go back to what we started. Ela la'olam, again, we're still trying to answer for Rav Chisda. Ela la'olam b'tahar. Really, we're talking about pure, perfect Maaser Sheni fruit. Okay, go, and what happened? It went into Yerushalayim, and then it came out of Yerushalayim. So really, you should be able to eat it. You should be able to eat it. It was in Yerushalayim, that's called Kaltua Mechitzos. And now it's in a Irani Dachas city, but what happened? Okay, go, Denafal Mechitzos. I lived at the time of the Chorban. Right, I brought the Maaser Sheni in when there were walls in the Yerushalayim, and now the walls have since fallen down, been broken down, nafal mechitzos, and therefore it is no longer able to be eaten. Ukidarava, and okay, I can't eat it, so maybe I should just be able to do something else. Says the Gemara, ukidarava, as Rava says, Dama Rava, mechitza le'echol de'oraisa, the fact that once something goes into the wall, it's able to be eaten. That's a din d'araisa. Liklot d'rabanan. The fact that it retains that status, even after it goes out of the walls, this klitas mechitzos, that is a din d'rabanan. Rashi says, right across from where we are, for all halachas, shiu mechitzos koltos, bein le'inyan pediyah, bein le'kol inyan, mid'rabanan. Right, so the fact that that once it's in there to eat, obviously that's a pasuk in Chumash. It's a din d'araisa. But the fact that the status of the being having been in the wall, that's a d'rabanan. V'chigaza rabanan, and when the rabanan made that, ki isnu l'mechitza. They only made that din, that the walls, being inside the walls have a certain status while the walls are still intact. Ki lesnu l'mechitza, lo. But when there are no mechitzas anymore, no, and therefore we don't view it. We forget the fact that it had been in the walls of Yerushalayim. That's why it is no longer considered able to be eaten. That's back to the Rashi, finishing up that Rashi. V'chi gazer rabbanon d'ten iklitas mechitzas l'maiser d'shuv ein yochel l'vdoso. Right, that's only when there are walls. In irani dachas nami shelo yehe besreifa hechadis nu b'mechitzas. While there are walls up, then it's not going to be burned. But now that there are no walls up, so then it's already enough considered part of the irani dachas. So why isn't it burned? Why do you have to bury it? So says the Ran, it had kedusha. It had kedusha, even though it doesn't technically have anymore. Right, it's still a little bizayon to burn it. So we just get rid of it, but we're not nana from it at all. Okay, again, there's so many sugyas here. Right, the walls of Yerushalayim and the amazing okimta. That's what we're talking about—a case where the walls fell down. Walls fell down right then, and it's but There are many, many overlapping topics here. The Kedusha of Maaser Sheni, the Kedusha of Truma, the concept of Pidyon. But again, we'll have to leave it for now. Let's continue. There is also a big discussion in the Rishonim that the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Nun Gimel, seems to say that we don't make a chiluk between the wall standing or not. So the Rishonim deal with the stira in that regard. We continue. Kisvei Akodesh Yiganzu. The Kisvei Akodesh, if there is any svarim in the Irani Dachas, they have to be buried. Mas Nisan Delogo Rebbe Lazar. The Mishnah is not like Rebbe Lazar. Rambam Ahava. Detanya, call Rebbe Lazar Omer, call Ir Sheishba, Filim Mezuzah Achas, Eina Nasas Irani Dachas. Right, the Rebbe Lazar we quoted earlier. This was the Rebbe Lazar that the Gemara based its daya on earlier, Daf Ayin Aleph, that it never happened. Because is there ever a city that doesn't have one mezuzah in it? Says Rebbe Lazar. Any city that has even one mezuzah, ina nasa zirani dachas, shene emar, visaraftava eisha so'ir v'skol sh'Allah kalil, you have to totally destroy the city. And how can you destroy a mezuzah? V'heicha de'ika mezuzah, lo efshar. And you can't do that. And if you can't do it at all, then it's nothing. That's the chiddush. Right? The other Tanoim agree that you can't burn the mezuzah. But that doesn't mean that it's not an irani dachas, just take out the mezuzah. But Rebbe Lazar says, if you can't do it all, you don't do anything. That you can't do that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi, can't, meaning that we learned that out from, destroy Avodah Zarah, don't do this to Hashem. So the limud is that we're not allowed to destroy Kisvei HaKadosh. Remember Rashi earlier said, well, it's the mezuzah, kol shekein shar svarim, Rashi said. Because kol shekein echad min achumashim o sefer mikol anaviim sha'azkaras Hashem k'suv Hashem. There's a lot more shemos of Hashem, right, in other svarim, and that's why those for sure would be included. Rav Soloveitchik always liked to say, he's quoted that the our tefillin, somebody's tefillin, has more kedusha than the tzitz of the Kohen Gadol. If you walk into a room and you see on the floor, you see the tzitz of the Kohen Gadol lying in a corner of the room, Chas v'shalom, shining, Kodesh Lashem. And on the other side, you see the your tefillin on the floor. I always say this to the Bar Mitzvah boys before they, when they start putting on tefillin, I'm like, which one do you pick up first? So obviously they know I'm asking, so they get the right answer. Right? The tzitz of the Kohen Gadol, the tzitz? No, you pick up your tefillin. Right? Why? Because the tefillin has many more shemos of Hashem. Has more kedusha than the tzitz of the Kohen Gadol. As Rashi says there, back on Daf Ayin Aleph, a mezuzah, kol shekein, other svarim, which have more shemos of Hashem. Also mentioned, one of the mefarshim explained how mezuzah, that's the last thing to go. Right? If somebody doesn't wear tefillin every day, they're still going to have a mezuzah. If somebody doesn't have svarim, they're still going to have the mezuzah. Once the mezuzah is removed, that's the final. A final step out of my connection to Stam. And that's why it says the Be'er Sheva, it's Dafka Mezuzah. Because Mistama, Kimesh Hutchu Anashim Shebavim Otma Barzara, Ein Lahem Ot Tefillin Vesvarim. Ava Mezuzah, Sehem Anichem Vateim Mishum Shmira. Right? Because of Shmira, that's what they keep there. We also discussed then back on Dafa Ayin Aleph, why don't we say Asi Docha Losase, the essay of Vesarafta Ba'esh, is Docha the Losase of destroying. So we discussed that then. Maybe this is an Asse and a Losase, maybe this is an Alosase Chamor, maybe this is considered a Losase Sheba Mikdash. Because it has to do with Kisvei HaKodesh and Askaras, and Ein Asei Docha Lo Asei Sheva Mikdash, right? Based on the Meshech Chachma says, based on the Ramban in Vayisra, that's in Yisra, that says Asei Docha Lo Asei is based on Avas Hashem is greater than Yiras Hashem. Asei Docha Lo Asei, that's the Ramban in Yisra. So says the Meshech Chachma in Zos HaBracha, I think. And Rabbi Yosef Engel also writes it. That's why we don't say Asei Docha Lo Asei Sheva Mikdash, because in the Mikdash Yira is primary, Mora Mikdash. And therefore, it has different rules, and maybe that's what this is, has the status of a halacha in the Mikdash. The Shemira element of mezuzah is something that comes up in the Gemara. The Rambam screams about it, and he says we have to recognize what the message of the mitzvah of mezuzah is. The Rambam in Hilchot Mezuzah talks about the purpose of mezuzah and the mistake that many people make about the mezuzah. People think, says the Rambam, that a mezuzah is just about the shmira, and they write all of these kamiya amulets, and they write things on the mezuzah. The Rambam says that's terrible, and you're losing the whole mitzvah of mezuzah. If I can't find it, I'll just quote the positive. But anyway, the Rambam says at the end of Hilchot Mezuzah, in Perek Dalet of Tefillin, Mezuzah, V'Sefer Torah, the Rambam says the positive elements of Mezuzah. Let me just take one more second here. I thought it was here, but says the says the, oh, this is Tefillin, sorry, says the Rambam, Heichan, where do you put Tefillin? And let me just find it. It's only two prakim. Kesef kozah mezuzah. Here, said the Rambam. Minak pashut shekosvin al mezuzah mibachutz. Keneged a revach shein parsha leparsha shakai. On the outside of the mezuzah, we write shin and dalet and yud. That's the minak of Klal Yisrael. Vein bezeh hefsid lefishu kibimachutz. No problem. That's on the outside. You want to write shem Hashem? Okay. It's not part of the mitzvah mezuzah. It's not part of the two parshios. Avol elu shekosvin babi bifnim. But those that write on the real side of the mezuzah, where the klaf is, Shemos Malachim, O Shemos Kedoshim, O Pasik, O Chosamos, Harehin Bechlal Mishein Lo Chelok Olam Haba. Whoa, it's good we're doing this in this parak, right? That's what it's discussed. Why? She'elu Atipshim, Lo Dailahem Shebitlu HaMitzvah, Elo She'osin Mitzvah Gedola, Shu Yichud Shmosh Lakadosh Baruch Hu, V'Yahavaso, V'Yavodaso, Kilu Kamil, Anias Atzman, Kamo She'al Aliba Masachal, She'zed Davar HaMahane, Mehen Mahavli Olam. People think it's like this magic charm, and you can write whatever you want with it, and write more shemos and amulets. The Rambam says, number one, you're ruining the mitzvah. Number two, you miss the message of the mitzvah. It does give, the Rambam can't argue, it does give shmira elements, but that's a derech agav once I do the mitzvah properly. The Torah discusses that, but it doesn't mean that that's what it's all about. And the Rambam says later on, beautiful Rambam, at the end of the mezuzah, a person has to be zayin in the mezuzah because whenever we go in and out of a house, of a doorway, he doesn't quote to kiss it. Like, that's based on the Gemara of Unkelus in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Aleph. But it says the Rambam, whenever I go in and out, Yifka b'yichud shmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'yizkar ahavaso, v'yeir mishein aso, v'shkiyaso b'havli hazman, v'yeda she'ein sham davar ha'omei lo'olam lo'omei olamim, el yediyah sur ha'olamim. The only thing that's forever is my connection to God. U'miyad, hu chozel adaito v'holech padarche misharim. That is a refrigerator Rambam. Right, the end of the Hilchot Mezuzah. Perek Vav at the end. But again, that's the mezuzah. And therefore, if somebody has just one mezuzah, the Rabbi Lazar says, it does not become an ear hanidachas. Fighter. Rib Shimon Omer, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu V'chulu. We continue. So this is going on the V'chulu. The V'chulu was the Machlokes in the Mishnah. Are you allowed to rebuild a ear hanidachas? So we had a Machlokes between Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yosef Aglili says you can't rebuild it at all. You can't even plant orchards there. Rabbi Akiva said no, you just can't build it to what it was. But you're allowed to plant orchards or ganos v'pardesim. So says the Gemara, what's that machlokas about? So lema b'der Rabbi Abin Amar Rabbi Yilah kamiflagi. Maybe the machlokas is about the following din. Damar Rabbi Abin Amar Rabbi Yilah. Komakom shadamotze klal ba'asei. Uprat palosa asei. Ain't adonan oso b'chal uprat. In this context, Rashi quotes the Psukim. First, the Pasuk says, V'haita tel olam, it should be a mound forever. That's the klal. And then it says, Lo tibane od, it shall not be rebuilt again. So, is that a klal and a prat? It should always be a mountain. So, that it says that you can't do, it should always be a mound, you can't do anything. You can't build, you can't plant, you can't this. And then the Torah says, you can't build. So, that's a prat. So, do we say, klal uprat im b'chal elamashav uprat? Or do we say they're two separate entities? Because one's an asay, one's a los asay. That's a machlok, that's the issue here. Rabbi Avin and Rabbi Law says, you do not look at this as an asay and a los asay. You don't look at this as a klal uprat. Ain't done an osob b'chal uprat. Timash, Rabbi Yosef Glili is slayed to Rabbi Avin, and therefore he excludes everything, not just building. You can't even build gidnos uprataysim, plant. Umar, Rabbi Kiva, was slayed to Rabbi Avin. Rabbi Kiva says, no, you can understand this as a klal uprat, and the only limitation are the buildings, but the plantings would be okay. So is that the machlokes? So Gemara says, no, lo, tukuli amislu d'Rabbi Avin, maybe everybody agrees to that principle. V'hachabakam iflagi, the machlokes here is how to understand. Mar savar od, right, that says the word od, lo tibane od, l'gamre mashma. Maybe that means l'gamre, totally, Rabbi Yosef Aglili. Mar savar od l'kamasha haisa, that just means to what it was, but not that it is, everything is us or according to Rabbi Akiva. Period. Eina nivneis aval nasis higanos upardesim. That was Rabbi Akiva shita. Tana rabbanon hayiba ilanos tlushin asurin mechubarin mutarin. What happens if there were already detached trees? There was already lumber. So the lumber, says the Braisa, that's asur. That's considered part of the shlal of the city. Mechubarin mutarin. But the trees that are still attached, those do not have to be taken to the town square and burned. Why? As Rashi quotes here, and we had it earlier, you only have to take what is able to be brought and burned. But if it has to be first cut and then brought and then burned, mechusar tlisha, so then that is not included in the shalal. Shel ira acheres, but of a different city, beit tlusha be mechubar nasser, but of a different city, even the mechubar asser. What's that talking about? Another city? To what? We're talking about ira nidachas. Amar of chizda, Yericho. No, but by Yericho, when Yeshua ben Nun made the gzeira, the cherem, that you can't take from the spoils of Yericho, then even the attached trees were usher. Dechsev ha'isa ha'ir cherem l'shem. It was totally a cherem l'shem. Asks the Meiri, why is the Brisa teaching me this halacha about Yericho? As we had back in the first parak, right? My dahava have. What difference does it make? So the Meiri says, if somebody makes a cherem like this was Banazah, right? So therefore, this would be the halacha, not just in Irani Dachas. Vayash, but once we're talking about Yericho, let's remember the story. Right, Yeshua ben Nun, when they went into Yericho for the first to conquer the first city, Vayash by Yeshua by Isaiah Lamar, Aruha Ish Lufnei Hashem, Mesher Yakumu Bana Esayir Azos, Es Yericho. Right, whoever rebuilds Yericho shall be cursed. Right, a cherem is a curse. Right, Rav Schechter likes to point out cherem d'Rabbeinu Gershom. Right, he made all these laws. You can't read other people's mail. You can't marry two wives. You can't divorce your wife. Balkarcha. What? Those were mutter lagamre lachadchila before Rabbeinu Gershom. That he came. Oh, I used to be able to read other people's mail, and now he was mechadish. I can't. It was us even beforehand. It was already Geneva's das beforehand to read other people's mail. It's just that he put a cherem, he put a curse on a person that does it. He made it stronger, right? It wasn't a good idea to divorce a wife, Balkarcha, even beforehand. But he just made it into a cherem. That's cherem de Rabbeinu Gershom. But here too, Yeshua ben Nun says, Aru ha'ish, that the person who rebuilds the city, Bivcharo yiazdena uvitziro yatzib d'laseha, right? With his firstborn dying, he will start it, and with his youngest son dying, the doors will be put up. Tanya, lo Yericho al-shem iracheres, lo iracheres al-shem Yericho. Not only can you not rebuild Yericho, but you can't rebuild Yericho with a different name, and you can't rebuild any other city and call it Yericho. Both of those are also included. Dichsiv, and that's what happened with Chiel. Chiel was the one we know that rebuilt Yericho. How did Chazal know that it wasn't the actual city Yericho that he was rebuilding? How? So Rashi says, I don't know. Lois Paresh, Haminalan. Not sure where Chazal knew that from. But the Achronim, the Maral here says, Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come visit Chiel and pay a shiva call. Maybe Eliyahu HaNavi wouldn't have done it if he mamish went against the curse of Yeshua. If he went against the drusha of Chazal, you know, maybe there he was down lakav schus. Or the Maharal says, Yericho by Chiel is spelled with an extra hey. It's not just spelled the Yericho that normally, Yericho. So that's why maybe also alluding to the fact that it wasn't real Yericho. Either way, he rebuilt it. Tachsiv, Bana Chiel, Beis Ha'eli, Es Yericho, Ba'aviram, Becharo, Yista, Uviskuv, Siro, Heitziv, Tlaseha. So he went, right? It's amazing. The Bali Musa, we spoke about this in the Shiurim on Yehoshua and in Malachim, the Akshanus of Chiel, right? He knew about the curse. Everybody knew about the curse. And his first son dropped dead when he started doing it. And he kept going, and he kept going, and his sons kept dying. And he kept going. Unbelievable. Akshanis. When people say, oh, if I see God, you know, I'll believe. Unbelievable how difficult he held himself to being an auction. Tanya, ba'aviram b'choro, Russia lo hayalo lilmod, biskuv tziro, hayalo lilmod, says the Brisa. Ba'aviram, right, he was a Russia. So therefore, you know, he should have thought, okay, maybe he died because he was a Russia. But skuv, right, he wasn't a Russia, so why didn't he learn? Aviram b'skuv my oven. What did they do? We didn't know anything about, where does the Brisa get that they were not righteous. Hachi gamar. Ba'avir b'chavar ha'ilo lil mod le'oso rasha biskuv tziro. No, it's one sentence. It means by the fact that Aviram, his firstborn, died, then he, Chiel, the rasha, should have learned before his last son died. Mimashe shenemar ba'avirim b'chavar eni yodiyah shaskuv tziro. Matam lomar skuv tziro. So once you know that's the firstborn, why does he have to say skuv the youngest? Melamed shayim makaver v'holich me'aviram ad seguv. There weren't just two children. There were a bunch of kids, and it went all the way from the oldest to the youngest. We had earlier, if you remember, we discussed this cherem that Yeshua made. Yeshua made the cherem, and obviously we know that Achan took from the cherem, and it led to tragedy, and some Jews died when they were trying to conquer Ai. And the Gemara said earlier that HaKadosh Baruch Hu never told Yoshua Ben Nun to make the Cherem. Yoshua Ben Nun did it himself. Why did he do it himself? Because he felt that that was appropriate. He felt that that is what his Rebbe Moshe Rabbeinu did. Moshe Rabbeinu made a Cherem on a lot of the properties in Eretz Yisrael, in Eivor HaYarden. So Yeshua Ben Nun thought that he would do the same thing here. But the Baalei Mussar pointed out the Maharsha on that Gemara we did earlier, back in the Mems. And in the Hakdama, Rav Shechter has to Be'ik Ve'atzon, he discusses this. To follow the Mesorah doesn't always mean to do exactly what my father and my grandfather did. It means following in their tradition and applying the same rules of the Torah's Chaim to the new aspects of the Torah. But it doesn't always mean to do exactly the same, because sometimes conditions are different. As the Marsha explains, Moshe Rabbeinu made a Cherem in Eivor HaYarden, so Yeshua says, I'm going to make a Cherem here too. No, but the answer is, beforehand there wasn't a concept of Arvos yet. There wasn't Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelazeh. So there wasn't the danger that if one person takes on the Cherem, that everybody's going to be punished. But Yeshua Ben Nun, he shouldn't have done it, explains the Marsha. Because now we have the concept of Arvus, since we came into Eretz Yisrael, so everybody's punished based on one person's sins. Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelazeh. Or he also discusses Yitzchak Avinu. Right, Yitzchak Avinu. What happens to Yitzchak Avinu? There's a famine. What does he want to do? He wants to go down to Mitzrayim. Right, and what Hashem says, you can't go down. Why do you want to go down? Because that's what my father went down to Mitzrayim, so I'm going to go down to Mitzrayim. But Yitzchak didn't realize that he's an Ola Tamima. Right? Conditions are different. If he's an Ola Tamima, then he can't go down. And as Rav Salvechik says, right, we could be a Mechadesh, but we can't be a Mishana. What does that mean? Rav Moshe Feinstein, every three pages of his Shuvas has unbelievable Chidushim, an unbelievable, but he's applying all of the Mesorah up until him. Applying all the Rishonim, the Achronim to new contexts and applications. Tremendous Chidushim. But there's a difference between a Chidush and a Shinui. We can't be Mishaneh from the Mesorah. We have to be Mechadesh based on the Mesorah, based on the new context. And that's Yitzchak Avinu, and that's Yoshua Ben Nun, the Gemara earlier in Sanhedrin Mem Dalad. And that is the and that's what the many quote from the Sfas Emes or from the one of the Gera Rebbe's. The Tana de Elio that says Masi Yagiu Masi Lamasi Avosai. We always have to ask ourselves, when are my actions touching my parents' actions? Right? It doesn't say copying my parents' actions. It means touching. There has to be a negiyah. It has to be a hemshech of the previous generation to the continuing. She'ef shal adam l'chakos tamidus kol anhagas v'chol darkei avot rabosav. Mikol makom, there has to be a negiyah b'miksas. There has to be a negiyah. And therefore, that is what is important regarding Yeshua ben Nun. Okay, we continue. Achav Shushmini Have. Achav was a friend of Chiel. Achav and Chiel were friends. Right? This Gemara doesn't quote it, but the Chazal say that when Eliyahu Bahar Carmel, and they had he was up there with all the Nevi'i Habal, the 400 Nevi'i Habal, and he had the two Mizbeachs, and he says, you know, you go first, and they're davening. Achav had sent Chiel underneath the Mizbeach in order to light a fire, to be able to get it to go on fire in order to fake everybody out. But a snake had come and bitten Chiel, and that was the end of him. But that was later on. The Gemara here doesn't quote that Chazal. But they were friends. Achav, the Melech Yisrael, was a friend of Chiel. Asa'iyav Eliyahu L'mishal B'shlama Beitamya. After Chiel lost all of his kids, right, after rebuilding Yericho, so Achav and Eliyahu Navi both met each other at the Shiva house, right? Yasev V'kamar, Achav said to Chiel, Dilma Kimela Yoshua Hachilat. You think it was the curse? You think it was the curse of it, Yoshua? You think there's a chance? Lo Yericho al Shem Yiracheres, Lo Yiracheres al Shem Yericho. Amar Eliyahu in. Eliyahu Navi's there. He's like, yep. Yeah, that's what happened. So, again, this is where the Maharal says, if it was really mafurish against what the Yeshua said, he wouldn't have come and paid the Shiva call. But maybe he gave him a little down the kavskos. Amar Le, says Achav. No, I don't really think it was the curse. Hascha Latusa de Moshe, lo kamakaima. Dechsiv v'sardim avatim v'gomer. Dechsiv v'chara av Hashem b'chem azar adashmayim v'gomer. Moshe Rabbeinu's curse is not coming true. I do Avodah Zarah all day, and there's plenty of rain. So the curse of Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't come true. V'yahu gavra okim le'avodah z'gochavim, I do put Avodah Zarah, I'll call tzlem v'tzlem on every mountain. We had this earlier, v'lo shavik le'mitra d'meisul miskalei. And there's tons of rain. Laftasa d'Yoshua talmidei mekaima. So the curse of Yeshua ben Nun will come true? It's all a fake. It can't be. Miyad, Eliyahu Navi cannot handle that. Miyad, and that's why the Chiel had to do with Eliyahu's gzera of the rain. Miyad vayomer Eliyahu Tishbi, mitoshavei Agilad, chai Hashem Elokei Yisrael, im yeh tal umater v'gomer. So Eliyahu Navi makes HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring a drought, and that's what caused the terrible drought in the time of Achav and Eliyahu. By Rachamei, v'habi le'ach lid the Mitra, he David, Hashem gave him the keys to reign, v'kam v'azal, and he left the Shiva house, and that's when there was no rain, there was a famine, there was a drought in that, really a drought in that time. Good. Says the Gemara, continuing. We'll get back to the keys. Vayidivar Hashem Eilav Leimar. Lech mizeh ufanisa lecha kedma v'nestarta b'nachal Chris. Right? We discuss, again, great stories there in the, with Achav and Eliyahu. So what happens? Eliyahu Navi goes, he goes to Nachal Chris. He's hiding out from Achav because Achav wants to kill him. V'ha'orvim meviyam olechem v'basar v'boker v'gomer. Right? The ravens are the ones that bring Eliyahu Navi the meat and the lechem. Right, this was quoted in the Medrash in Parshas Noach, where Noach sends out the Orev. The Medrash says, "You're a worthless nothing," and Hashem says, "You're going to need the Orev later on in history." Eliyahu Hanavi. So Mehecha, where do you get meat from? I'm Rav Yehuda Marav, mi beitivchid Achav, from Achav's kitchen. That's where the birds brought the meat from. The Gemara in Chulin in the beginning discusses, is it Basar Shen Salam and Ayim? Is it Treif? Is it this? Discuss their special din. Vayimi Kates Yamim, Vayivash HaNachal, Ki Lo Haya Geshem Ba'aretz, the whole Nachal dried up. Kima Dachaz HaDikatsar Ba'alma, Ksiv, Vayidivar Hashem, Eilav Lemar, Kum Lech, Tzarfasa, Viksiv, right, he goes to the Isha, Tzarfatit, Viksiv, Ayyachar, Dorma Eilach, Cholabeno Isha Ba'alas Habayis, the woman who did all the sachnasas archim for him becomes, the son becomes sick. And the son dies. And Eliyahu Navi turns to Hashem and says, can I have the other key? Can I have the Tchias HaMesim key also? I know you already gave me the rain key. Amri Lei. So, no. They said, Shalosh Maftachos Lo Nipshu L'Shliach. Right? There are three keys. We all know this from Tainus Daf Beis. Right? There are three keys that were never given to a Shliach. Shel Chaya, Vishal Geshamim, Vishal Tchias HaMesim. Childbirth, rain, and Tchias HaMesim. So I've never given them to a Shliach. Remember, there's a fourth one there, quoted, we named Tainus, Parnasa. And that's what the Torah quotes. That's the Rashi Tevis Mafteach, key. Matar, Parnasa, Tchias HaMesim, Chaya. Right, Rashi Tevis Mafteach. Right, those are the keys. So, Yomru, so the voice says, Yomru Shtayim Biat Talmud V'Achaz Biat Arav. I'm going to give you the Tchias HaMesim, and then you're going to have two, I'm only going to have one. Kaviyachol. I see you have a Shokalai, so give me the rain key. And meaning, you know, I'm going to make it rain, and I'll give you Tchias HaMesim. Dechsev Lech Heira'e El Achav, Vetzna Matar. Right, he appears to Achav, and then rain is going to come. Period. Tosfos, not here, there's no more Tosfos here, but Tosfos in Tainus, that Beis, as we know, discusses what does it mean that the key, gave him all the key, that he never gave him the keys. You see, he gave Eliyahu all the keys. Right, so what does that mean? So, the Gemara in Tainus discusses, maybe it means he never gave him the keys, he never gave anybody the keys forever. Right, Tosfos says, V'yishlam adal dekamer shalom nimsu l'shliach, inar watzlam shalom nimsu me'olam, deha shal tchiyas ha'meitzim shal kshamim nimsu, ala lo nimsu l'shliach liyos l'olam emuna aleihem. Hashem is in charge of them generally. Temporarily, he might give them to others. Or Rashi there says, in Tainus Abbeis, he never gave all of them to somebody biyachad. That's what it means. Either way, this is the discussion of the keys. I forgot to mention, I'm sorry, it's too good not to mention, but talking about Yericho, Eliyahu Hanavi, Yeshua ben Nun's kavana of making the cherem. There is another element. Yericho, as we know, was the first city that Bnei Yisrael conquered going in. The Mishnah is described in Maseches Tamid, Yericho as a special city. And there were certain things that happened in Yericho that didn't happen anywhere else. Right? This is the third parak of Maseches Tamid. The Mishnah is described. In Yericho, you heard the gates open of the Har HaBayis. In Yericho, you heard the shovel of the coals. In Yericho, you heard the Ben Arza. All these things in Yericho. So does this mean that all the way to Yericho, from Yerushalayim to Yericho, you heard all these sounds? Maybe. The Rivet. Only Rivet and Tamid that I remember offhand. So the Rivet says there, the Rivet in the commentary in Tamid, in the third parak, says, no, Yericho was unique. It wasn't that he heard it all the way from Yerushalayim to Yericho. You heard it in Yerushalayim, and magically, you smell the Ktoris in Yericho. He quotes, Mori HaRav HaChassid. All of these, Maisa Nisim. V'davka b'Yericho Nishma, v'lo b'shar t'studim. Mipnei she'Yericho, haisa kemo Yerushalayim. Wow. Why? Mipnei she'Yericho, haisa t'chilas kibush Eretz Yisrael. U'kemo d'trumas dagon, tzarech litrom. Just like Truma is the first grains, Kain Nitruma Eretz Yisrael Atzma, This is Yericho is the Truma of Eretz Yisrael. Ubishvil Kach Hitrima Yoshua Leos Kodesh. Lafiha Hikimo Yerushalayim, and all these things that happened in Yerushalayim happened in Yericho. Kedeshe Yargishu Bnei Adam Shebi Yericho Yesh Kemochen Ksas Kedusha Kemo Yerushalayim. Lafiha Be'elu Yosem Mishar Dvarim Rechkol Elu Kolashar Hagod of Itzel of Gwine Cruz Tchilas Avodos. All the morning things. Hamamidim Sakonim Avodosam. Right? The morning things, so too, just like Yericho was the beginning. But again, maybe Yeshua ben Nun should have found other ways to do it because it led to tragedy. Okay, we continue. Last section says the Gemara, third to last line. Darash ahugli law kamed Rav Chista. Masho d'Eliyahu l'madav Radome, Eliyahu Navi. What is it similar to? The fact that he caused the rain to stop, but then he didn't open the gates again. He had to give that back to Hashem. Lagavra d'tarki l'galye v'avdi l'mavtachei. He locked up the gate and then he lost the key. Meaning Elio locked the gates of rain, but then he gave the key to Hashem, and then for Hashem opened the gates. Darash of Yosi Bitsipori Abba Eliyahu. That means my beloved Eliyahu, Kapton. He was a Kapton. What's a Kapton? Rashi quotes. He got angry at Achav, right, from that. He was a Kapton. Right, every day Eliyahu Navi used to learn with Rabbi Yosi. Ichsimine Tlasa Yomi, for 3 days he didn't come. Balaasa, he got mad. Kiyasa Amarle, am I loas Amar? He says, why don't you come for 3 days? Amarle, Kaptun Karaslai. What, you called me your Kaptun? So Amarle, Hakta, come on, come at bar. That's exactly my point. Right? What's the message of this? Again, Kaptun means Elio Anavi. You know, this is another example. The Rambam says that, you know, to reach the highest levels of Yahadus, of connection to God, does not mean you have to be perfect. The Rambam in Pirush Mishnayis, in the Hakdama to Pirkei Avos, we know Shmona Prakim, in the seventh Perek, the Rambam discusses that the Ein Mitznoe Hanavi Sheyu Espo Komalas Amidos. You don't have to be perfect to be a Navi Yesod Olam. And he quotes five examples. Shlomo HaMelech, he wasn't perfect, but he was a great Navi. David HaMelech, he wasn't perfect, but he wasn't the Navi. Right? Eliyahu HaNavi, Midas Ragzonis. Even though he was made a kofrim, but Chazal said that, you know, that's not totally acceptable. And that's why a little bit after this he died. He didn't die, he went up to Shemayim on the chariot. And then the Rambam talks about Shmuel, and he talks about Yaakov. Right, the Rambam says all of these, and eventually he talks about Moshe. But again, the Rambam says, you know, one doesn't have to have perfect Milas Hamidos in every area. The Maharal says, maybe Eliyahu HaNavi was a Kapton because he was a Kohen. Machlokes, what Shevet he was from. But we know Kohanim are on fire, right? And therefore, maybe that sometimes there's a Kas, a little bit that comes out. The Chafetz Chaim in Hilchis, Chafetz Chaim, Shri Asalashin writes, amazing, for this Gemara, that it says, you're not allowed to talk about your friend having negative Midos. Like anger or other midos. But then he writes in the Ber Mayim Chaim, he says, but to say that he's a kapton is not an insult. That just means he does not have the midah of ma'avir al midosav. Kapton doesn't mean a ka'asan. But says the Chavetz Chaim here, but it's still not a good idea to mention it, because doesn't the Gemara even say you're not supposed to give a compliment to your friend in front of someone else? Because it might lead to bad things. So this is not a compliment. It's at most neutral. So if you can't even give a compliment to someone else in front of your someone else in front of a third party, surely this would not be a good idea. Avo ma'od yesh lezyashev b'fnei mi lomar ze tolu yesh enda ze davar gnai mi gari ma she'amar yisaper adam b'shivchos shel adam shomer nafsho yirchak miseh. But to say per se kapton is not an insult, says the Chafetz Chaim in Hilchos Lashon Hara Klal Dalid in the Ber Mayim Chaim Os Lamed Zayin. But and he gets it from this Gemara. Viter. There's a lot more, but we need to continue. Right, relating to the Irani Dachas. As long as there is Rishayim in the world, right, Irani Dachas, so there's anger in the world. My Rishayim, what might Rishayim be referring to in this pasuk? Because after all, maybe it's not the Adar Mug slaves. It's not referring to the Anshi Irani Dachas, because they were ready. Based on the psukim, it doesn't seem that it's talking about that. So I'm Rav Yosef Ganvi. Ganovim. The Mefarshim talk about what does Ganovim here mean. Is it symbolic? Is it Dafka Ganovim? Tana Rabbanan, but we'll finish with the Tosefta. Rasha Bala Olam, Charon Bala Olam. When a Rasha comes to the world, Charon Bala Olam. Shnei Amar, Bebo Rasha, Ba Gambuz, Ve'im Kalon Cherpa. the Mefarshim discuss what a Rasha is already a Rasha when he comes to the world. Where's Bechira Chavshis? Kodesh Baruch already knows about it. Al Shema Asid. Rasha Avad Mina Olam Tova Baal Olam. Shnemer Ubi Ivud Baavod Rishaim Rina. Tzadik Nifta Mina Olam Ra Baal Olam. Shnemer Had Tzadik Avad Ve'ein Ish Sam Alei Ve'anshi Chesen Esafim Be'ein Maven. Ki Bnei HaRa Nesavat Tzadik. Do not realize that Tzadik dies earlier before the Ra happens. Tzadik Baal Olam Tova Baal Olam. But when a Tzadik comes, so then, Tova Ba Shenemar, as we learned in Parshas Noach, the end of Breishas Zeinachamenu Masinu Mitzvon Yadenu, Noach came, Noach is Tzadik, right, we had earlier, Noach Tzadik, the Gemara calls him, so then they knew that Noach would bring Nechama. How they know? So the Medrash we've quoted on this Pasuk is that Noach had fingers, right? Up until that point, nobody had separated digits. Right, they were all connected, but now they were going to have to work the land. So Hashem created Noach with fingers, and that's how they knew that they would have Nechama. But ultimately, it was, according to the Gemara, it's not just about the fingers. It's about the Tzadik coming to the world. Noach Baal Olam, he comes to the world. How does this connect to the beginning of the Masechta? Sometimes some of the Sfarim try to connect the Tzofa Masechta to the beginning of the Masechta. The beginning of the Masechta is Din. It's Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin keeping the peace. The greatest Tzadikim in the world, right, 320-371. We learned to this Masechta. The greatest rabbis were in the Bezdin of 71. The next greatest rabbis were in the Bezdin of 23. Inside the Beis HaMikdash. And then, right outside the Beis HaMikdash, right? The two Bati Dinim there. We learned this in the Zakin Mamre Sugis. And then the greatest in all the cities across. Again, that's the job of a shofet, is to make sure that everyone stays in place. And that's what that's all Masechta Sanhedrin. That's what all Seder Nezikin is about. Remember back in Shabbos Laman Aleph, right? What's the source for Shas Mishnayos? The Pasuk in Yeshayahu. V'hoya emunat hitecha chosen Yeshuos. Chachnas Badas, Yeshua is a Siddha Nezikin. All in Ezekin is about Yeshua. It's about salvations. It's about fellow Jews bringing salvations to other Jews, whether in damages or whether, but that's what the Sanhedrin does. And that's the Tzadik Baal Olam, Tova Baal Olam. When the Tzadikim are doing their job, then the Tova is in the world as well. Okay, Baruch Hashem, Hadron Alach, this is Yesh Lohem, Kol Yisrael Yesh Lohem Chelek. Right, we go back to, we might say Hadron, right, we always go back to the ultimate line, Kol Yisrael Yeshlam Chelek Olam Haba. That is exactly it. So, B'ezras Hashem, we will continue. Again, just scheduling note, I'm traveling over the next couple of days. So, the next, really, 5-6 dafim are going to be from the last cycle. B'ezras Hashem, I hope on Sunday to be able to get back to New Shirim. But again, I'm traveling tonight. So, B'ezras Hashem, it'll be up from the last cycle. But, you gotta focus on Makkos. Because if you don't focus, in a couple of weeks, it's gone. It's not gone, Chas V'Shalom, but we'll be saying a Hadron Alach on that too. So, B'ezras Hashem, we'll enjoy. We got through the four Masechtas that were triple digits, and now we have a couple that are shorter. But B'ezras Hashem, every daf obviously is its own world. Baruch Hashem. Okay, we'll stop here.